From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host, on the many, many stations of the Wild Michigan Talk Network. On our website, the newly redesigned website, you got to check it out, wildmichiganradio.com. Still only about 29 likes away on the Facebook page from giving away that autographed hat from the Bone Collector guys. It's a cool-looking Hoyt hat that you can win for your very own. And all you got to do is go to our Wild Michigan Facebook page, facebook.com/wildmichigan, or go to wildmichiganradio.com and click on the link. Very simple. Just get yourself registered. And as soon as we give that away, we'll give away some more stuff. We have more stuff to give away. We want to do that. And thanks to our sponsors, Lucky Buck, for joining us again. Also, lots of banquets coming up, which we will talk about in a little bit. But right now, I want to get to my buddy, Brett Berry. He is a Zinc Calls pro staffer, Avian X Decoys, by far, and I am not paid to say this, folks, by far the best turkey decoys and overall decoys on the market. Fred Zink and the crew over there have done a wonderful job with these decoys, and they only get better. But Brett Berry is our friend right now. You know, Brett, it's almost, to me, it's not too early to talk about turkey hunting, because one of our team members, Sarah Marie, sent me this photo on our Wild Michigan Facebook page of the turkeys congregating in her parents' yard, probably about 40 birds, one of them in full strut.
Oh yeah, this is the time of year that they're really starting. The days are getting longer. They're sensing it, and we're starting to see a lot of turkeys, gobblers that are in full strut. There's a lot of birds gobbling. I got guys that are going out listening in the morning. They're gobbling here in Ohio, and things are really kind of starting to heat up a little bit. They're still together. They'll start breaking up here probably in another 3 weeks. They'll start breaking up those big flocks of 20 and 50. You'll start seeing them get down to 5 and 10 and 4, and they'll start moving into their own little territories here probably in the next 3 weeks to a month. But I've actually seen on three different years, and not consecutively, but three different years on the same date, March 15th, seen wild gobblers breeding hens. So it starts a lot earlier than a lot of people think.
Well, you know, that's funny you should say that, because our good friend Al Stewart, who is the upland game bird specialist for the Michigan DNR, he says, you know what, a majority, not a minority, a majority of the hens are already bred by the time we get our first day of turkey season in Michigan.
Absolutely. I believe that 100%. That is very, very true. I learned that in college a long time ago, that's why those season dates are set the way they're set. A lot of the hens that you may see, hens will rebreed with different gobblers, or even the same gobbler, multiple times, and they're able to store that sperm in a pouch and drop it down to fertilize a clutch of eggs. I guess they can store it for up to a couple weeks. But a lot of the hens that we see during the season that we're doing battle with when we're trying to call that gobbler in are sometimes those are hens that are rebreeding, that are going to re-nest again. Maybe their first nest attempt was destroyed by a predator or flooded out by rain.
Speaking of Brett Berry here on Wild Michigan, he is a Zinc Pro Staff member, turkey hunter out of Ohio, a guy that we go to every year. Brett, November 15th is the firearm deer season in Michigan. November 14th, I think, is statewide sight-in day. We don't want to wait, man. We don't want to wait for turkey. We want to make sure our gun is patterned properly despite the cold. We want to get out and maybe wear what we're going to wear in, you know, either our blind or in our setup, so we know where our gun is patterning and we know how we're going to react to it. Now, we don't want to wait.
That's smart, and that's something that everybody should kind of keep in mind. You got that extra heavy clothing on early in the spring, that first week of the season. It's still pretty cold out. I mean, I've had it where the first weekend, you know, after we've been in for a week, had a hard snow, had, you know, 2 inches of snow on the ground. Michigan this year is just getting pounded, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to let up anytime soon.
No, it's today, recording day now. We've got whiteout conditions and lots of accidents on the road. But, you know, so it's hard to think about turkey hunting. But what are some of the things in our gear that we need to check before we even hit the field?
Well, you know what? What I like to do this time of year is just get my vest out. I like to go through my vest, pull everything out of it, and just kind of take an inventory. I like to figure out which friction calls I'm going to carry with me. I like to carry 2 to 3 different friction calls. I carry a lot of the slate. I carry a slate call for some of the softer, finer yelping and cutting as birds are getting in close. I carry an aluminum call and a glass call that carry on those real windy, loud days. You know what I mean? When it's real loud and you want to be able to cut and yelp and try and reach some distance and cut through that wind to get to those turkeys. I like to go through my decoys, make sure that I know what I've got, what I'm taking. I'll have a full strut gobbler. I want that in the back of the truck that I can use on a given day, on a given bird, that one of those big dominant birds. I like to have my old go-to, the Jake decoy, the Avian X Jake decoy. And I don't know if you guys knew it or not, we redesigned the breeder, the feeder, and the hooker hens. They're 15% smaller and two pounds lighter. And just when you thought that they couldn't get any realer, they are absolutely incredible. They're in the back of the truck already, ready to go.
See, go ahead, Brett.
Some of the other things, I like to start going through the mouth calls. I like to figure out which calls I'm going to carry and make sure that they're still good from last year to this year, getting those out. Make sure that you've got some orange that you can throw on over your shoulder, or an orange vest or something that you can wear when you kill a bird that help get you out of the woods safely. Just the normal stuff that you're going to use when you're turkey hunting. Just go through it and make sure that it's there and ready.
Speaking of the Brett Berry, a Zinc Pro staff member here, Zinc Calls and Avian X Decoys here. Brett, you talked about making the decoys a little smaller. I didn't see any real problem with the size of the hen or the Jake decoy, but you say they've made them a little bit smaller?
Yeah, they're more in proportion now with about an 8 to 10 pound hen, which is pretty typical of the wild hens that are out there. When they told me that they were going to redesign them, I thought, man, I don't know how you guys can make them any better. They were absolutely incredible last year. Well, when the guys came up to do a video hunt with me last spring, they brought the three new prototypes, and I was just floored. I was just floored. The detail in them that they have in them now, if you thought they had detail in them before, you should see them now, Duran. They're just absolutely incredible.
Speaking with Brett Berry, and Brett, I got to tell you, last year I was out and I had my new Chappelle blind. I was in the blind, and I had my hen decoys out, and I heard this cut, 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 you know, like, okay, I got a hen coming in here. And here she comes. Finally, she pops out. And Brett, I got to study this hen at about 15 feet for 4 hours. She stayed in front of my blind, talking to my decoy, laying down with my decoy, laying there, preening every feather in her body. And then the only time she moved, she kind of got a little distracted. She looked away, you know, and I kind of watched her. And I had a doe come in, I had a deer come in and lay down about 50 yards away. I'm like, come on, I've got live decoys here, and I couldn't get a doggone Tom to come in. But that's how real these birds are.
That's awesome. And you know what? I love these guys working these shows and you know, and being on some of the websites and on Facebook and stuff. Hearing some of the guys, we start talking decoys, and a lot of these guys are, you know what, I don't use decoys, I don't need them. Well, you know what? You're missing something when you're not using them. You're missing that interaction with turkeys and the decoy. They're 100% convinced that you're a turkey. You're calling to them. They come in. They lock onto that decoy, and they go right to that decoy. And you're seeing what they do in the wild. They're 100% convinced. The gobblers are trying to breed the decoys. They're beating up the decoys. The hens are attacking the decoys.
Okay, hold on, Brett. Hold on, man. I hate to do this to you. We've got to take a quick break. We'll come back, talk to Brett Berry, Avian X Decoys, Zinc Calls, right here on Wild Michigan.
To everyone that has served this great country, keeping us free to enjoy the great outdoors, thank you. from Duran Martinez and Team Wild Michigan.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Oh, lots of things going on, man. The events page is full of banquets. If you want to check out the Commemorative Bucks of Michigan, that is going on Saturday night at the Eagle Eye Banquet Facility and Conference Center. We're going to be there for that. Next weekend, Pheasants Forever. Weekend after that, Safari Club International, Lansing Chapter. All of those banquets are going on, and you can be a part of all of them, as we will be, and join us on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Joined again by Brett Berry, Zinc Calls Pros staff, and AVNX decoys. We've been talking about these decoys and the realism of them. And again, Brett, like I told you, this hen, and the thing is, it became a daily occurrence. When I was out there, you would hear her start clucking, kind of talking to it. And all of a sudden she'd hang out and it's like, come on. I don't mind you and all, but I want Tom's.
Yeah. But you know what? As long as you got her there and you're holding her there, that's the real decoy with your AVNX decoy. I mean, if there's any gobblers in that area, they're going to come. They're definitely going to come. There just wasn't a gobbler that was close enough in that area to hear you or to want to come into that. He may be locked up with another couple hens, you know, off 400 yards away, but it's hang tough and eventually they're going to break.
Well, you know, that was exactly it too. And the cool thing about it was I did get to see how she acted, the noises she would make, you know, when she was content or feeding. I mean, she would go off and feed about 25, 30 feet away and then come back and then go off and then come back. And then another one came in. Then I had two around me. And it was just cool to see them interact with that decoy.
Oh, absolutely. And you know something else too, Grant, is when they're interacting with it and they're going that soft clucking and yelping and the... You're hearing how they communicate. There's a lot of soft, subtle stuff that is going on all day long. Turkeys communicating. If that turkey was off 80, 90 yards, 100 yards from you, you probably wouldn't be able to hear it.
Right.
But that's how they communicate with each other all day long. You're getting to hear that soft stuff. You're getting to firsthand try and mimic what she's doing, because when you learn how to do that soft stuff, That is the hook, line, and sinker for when you're dragging a gobbler in. But a lot of guys can cut, yelp, and get them going, but then you get them from 100 yards to that 70 yards to that 60 yards. You need to get them into that 20-yard range where you can really kill them. That soft, subtle stuff is a deal breaker.
Now let's get back to the gear. We were talking about getting our gear ready, making sure our vest is ready. Some of the things that we may not realize, you know, some of the small problems that may occur with our favorite mouth call. I mean, they dry out, or you know, they get a split in them that we don't see, and then we go out into the field and it doesn't perform the way we want to.
Right. I like to run through mine. I like to get them wet. I use reed separators on mine. You can use little toothpicks. You can buy reed separators from some of the different call companies. Sell little reed separators that you can put in between the reeds that help dry out in between the reeds. I leave mine open, sitting on the counter at home, keep them out of direct sunlight, let them dry for about an hour, hour and a half, and then close them up, put them in a fridge, or put them back in your vest. Just keep them out of the direct sunlight, and they'll last a long, long time.
Now, what about things like our glass calls and our slate calls? Is there things that could affect the performance of those just being packed away in our vest over the wintertime?
Yeah, you want to watch... You want to watch touching them with your hands, getting any water, getting them wet, getting any kind of oily stuff. You know, our hands are, we've got a lot of oil and stuff on our fingers, and that's probably one of the main things that'll really kind of mess them up. But they're easy to fix. You just pull out a piece of that little Scotch-Brite and clean them up real good, scratch them up real good, clean the tips of your strikers off real good, and then you're able to go back to running them pretty good. A lot of things that'll shut the friction calls down is rain. So I like to make sure that I've got some Ziploc freezer bags in my vest, so that if it does start raining, I can start jamming some of my gear into the Ziploc baggie to keep it from getting wet.
Brett Berry joins us here from Zinc Calls and AVNX Decoys. decoys, you know, I know the Avionex decoys, they inflate. We can blow them up. But say we're using like an old, you know, feather flex or whatever those old ones are called. Should we get those unfolded and you know, kind of ready?
Yeah, I would, Grant. And I, you know, that's what I've had for years. I had all the Flambeau ones that, you know, you fold them up and put them away, put them up on a shelf, and then when you pull them out in the springtime and shove it in your vest without even opening it up, next thing you know, it gets daylight and you look at it and it's half bent, half cocked. I like to open those up and just shove some newspaper in them and try and get them to stay, hold their shape for 2, 3, 4 days before the season opens up, and then they should be pretty good by the season open.
Yeah, that's funny you should mention that, because when I first started turkey hunting, you know, you get that one with a wobbly neck.
Yeah.
For
yeah,
being
yeah,
folded
yeah.
in the bag yeah. all the whole time. But yeah.
yeah.
Now, what about our shotguns? We know it's cold, like, man, but we got to get them patterned.
I like to pattern mine in advance. I like to shoot it just to make sure. I shoot a red dot scope on my gun, Duran, and I like to make sure that it's not knocked off. I got to at least run one or two shells through it just to make sure that it's still patterning at 20 yards. I'm using a Pattern Master choke tube in it, and the shot that's coming out, I think the pattern that I'm getting at 20 yards is it's incredible. So you've got to make sure you're right on, because if you're shooting at a bird at 10 to 20 yards, there's a possibility of missing it, because that pattern's about the size of a softball.
Right. And you know what? I'll say honestly, I missed my shot last year. I had one come in, and, you know, it wasn't a very big bird, but it was a bird, and it was getting down to crunch time, and I took the shot, and it just kind of looks at me, and it flies off. I'm like, okay, I must have just missed that big as can be, because
wow.
yeah, it was just, wow. I was really kind of like, what? How could I possibly have missed it? But, you know, I did, evidently.
That happens. I mean, and a lot of people think, how can you miss a turkey with a shotgun? I remember 25 years ago when I first started turkey hunting, I had killed probably, it would have been several years, and I had killed probably 5, 6, 7 birds, and I just thought I knew everything. And I was at one of the guys I was hunting with, I missed a bird, and I was like, how can you miss a turkey with a shotgun? And I'm not kidding you, the very next day I went out and I missed a bird. And then this is what holds true to me. If I miss one, I lose all confidence in my shooting, and I will usually miss 2 to 3 more throughout the rest of the season before I finally kill one. It's funny. It's just that's how it works for me.
You know, and I'm glad that I'm not the only one, and you do this more than I do, but, you know, I enjoy the heck out of turkey hunting. It's one of those things that you can truly, you can do everything yourself. I mean, deer hunting's cool, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to turkey hunting, everything, every last detail depends on you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it does. There's no doubt that it does. And it's cool, like you're saying, that you get out there and start calling to these birds, they're 100% convinced that you're the real deal and that they're coming to you because they think that you're a hen. And you're having a conversation with them, and you're trying to convince them every step of the way to come into 20 yards where you can shoot them. It's just incredible.
It's Brett Berry here on Wild Michigan.
I still believe.
Hey, Michiganiacs, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent celebrating the almighty Michigan Spirit of the Wild with my blood brother Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan. Go Wild.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State on the Wild Michigan Talk Network. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And that is where the new website has all been built and for you to enjoy. A lot of interactive things on there. You can check out a steelhead fishing trip that we did a couple of years ago with my good friend Norm Smith and Chad Schaub. Chad recently over at the World Ice Fishing Tournament over in Belarus. No idea how the guys did yet, but we will be checking on that. We'll get Chad on the show hopefully next week and find out how they did over in Belarus. Hopefully they, you know, they had fun first and foremost. Joining me on the phone right now, he is down at Outdoorama, which is going on at the Suburban Collection Showplace all weekend. Bill Parker joins me right now, the editor of Michigan Outdoor News. Bill, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Duran. How are you today?
Good, man. Always good to talk to you, and I appreciate the last minute join. I know you're in the middle of Outdoorama going on this weekend down in Novi at the Suburban Collection Showplace. But we wanted to grab you for a couple of minutes because there's some things starting this weekend. We've got the new license structure, which, you know, some people are confused about, but I think overall, this is going to be a very good thing for Michigan because from a retailer's perspective, this takes it from like 336 possible license combinations and slashes that to like under a third of what
right.
it was.
They really streamlined it and combined some and eliminated some. And I'm sure there are going to be surprises for some people early on that didn't get the message that this is coming, you know, into force this year. And there'll probably be a hiccup or two with the retailers as well. But like you said, I think all in all and in the big picture, and once we all get used to it, it's going to be a big improvement over the old system that we had.
Now, what we're doing is you have to buy a base license starting out, mm-hmm. plain and simple. You have to buy a base license, and then you can pick and choose what you want from there. But what was really going to, I think, throw a few people off is I think the combo license is now gone.
Yeah, you still buy a combo license, and you can actually, there's a deer, you know, resident combo license where you get your two tags, but there's also a hunting and fishing combo license that you can buy now, and that includes your combo deer license and a fishing license and your base license, and you can buy those all at one time as well.
See, to me, that's helpful.
Yeah, unfortunately there's no break price wise, and what is gone from the old license is you used to be able to get a 15% discount if you bought four at once,
right?
And that's no longer available. But just for simplicity's sakes, yeah, you can buy your hunting and fishing combo license and get your two deer licenses, your base license, and your fishing license all at once. And that's another change for fishermen. There is no two fishing licenses. We used to have the restricted license and the all-species license, and now there's just an all-species license, but that license actually went down $2. It used to be $28, now it's only $26. But there are a lot of people, and I'm hearing a little bit down here at the show, you know, your hardcore walleye fishermen, your hardcore bass fishermen, that's all they fish for, they're kind of frustrated that now they have to buy the equivalent to an all-species fish license, which includes trout and salmon. And they're, you know, a little bit disenchanted with that because they don't fish for trout and salmon. And you know, in that perspective, their license has gone up, you know, considerably from last year from $14 to $26.
Right, yeah. And you know, I can see where there's going to be some issues, you know, like you said, where you have guys that target species specific and they don't want the all species license. But again, this is one of the trade-offs, I guess, is what we're going to see. And look, we haven't had an increase since what, 96?
Right. Yes, it's long overdue for sure.
You know, and you know, unfortunately, that's what happens is you get people so comfortable to paying a specific amount when you change things, especially in Michigan, when you move somebody's plate around the other way and it doesn't look right, automatically things are bad.
Right, exactly. And you know, in the big picture, the individual licenses haven't increased that much, but what's getting a lot of people, for instance, guys that are going turkey hunting. Last year, when turkey season started, they went in and they bought a $15 turkey license. Well, this year, when they go in to buy that turkey license, it's going to cost them $26 because of the base license. The turkey license itself hasn't been increased. It's still $15, but you can't buy that license until you buy the base license first, and that's an $11 addition.
Right.
So, you know, some guys are looking at that, too, and being frustrated. But once you buy the base license, you don't have to buy a base license for each license you purchase. That's just, you know, to buy all of your licenses. So once you pay that $11, you know, it's out of the hopper, and that's a done deal. It's a one-shot deal for this year.
Yeah, see, I think, again, overall, once we get used to this, I mean, there's going to be some grumbling, you know, plain and simple. There's going to be some grumbling about the license fees increases. But our military folks, which I don't think people are going to complain about this, they're going to get a break as well.
Right. Right. Yes, absolutely. It was a dollar, and now they don't have to pay anything for active and disabled military. It's not you know, veterans that served in the past. You have to be an active member of the military or a disabled veteran, and they get to hunt and fish for free now in Michigan.
Yeah, my buddy Mark Snocko, I think he's going to like that because he's like me. He hunts and fishes everything.
Yeah, that'll go a long way.
And it will. And you know what? As far as I'm concerned, deservedly so for our men and women in active military and those that are disabled, it gives more people the opportunity to get out and enjoy the outdoors. And this may even encourage others who have never done it that are in the mm-hmm. active military to maybe participate.
Absolutely, and it's a small gesture to tell those guys thanks for all the service that they've done and to keep us safe and you know to maintain our integrity as a free country. And you certainly can't find fault with that.
You know, I was down at the Bassmaster Classic speaking with Bill Parker, the editor of Michigan Outdoor News here on Wild Michigan. I was down at the Bassmaster Classic last week in Alabama, and I was working, for the good folks at Dick's Sporting Goods down there, and a gentleman had come through. He had a Vietnam veteran ball cap on, and I came up to him and I thanked him for his service. I said, "You know what? I was a little young when this was all going on, but I just feel it's my duty as an American citizen to say thanks because you guys never got that." And he looked at me with this look of I didn't know if he was going to start crying or if it's just overall gratitude. He's like, "You know what? We didn't get this when we got home. And to get it now still means as much this much later." And I just, Bill, I about broke down right there, right in front of like 500 people.
Well, that shows you how much it does mean to veterans, you know, that they are appreciated and that they need to realize, too, that we do appreciate what they've done for us and the sacrifices they've made.
You know, that's true. It's just, it's just we've not, you know, we've seen the mistakes we made with Korea, what we made with Vietnam, and some of the other, you know, unpopular wars mm-hmm. that we've had. But you know what? These folks, they do their job without complaining, and I think we should be able to give without complaining as well. And there's a lot of organizations out there that are doing a great job. Pheasants Forever, the local chapter here, 467, they've got a hunt coming up at Dunn Creek Outfitters for our veterans. And other groups. There's a big walleye fishing deal that's going to go out on Saginaw Bay. Walleye for Warriors, I do believe it's called. So, you know, again, overdue, but at least we're getting it done is what
right.
I'm very happy about.
Yes, absolutely.
And again, go ahead, Bill.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say one other thing that probably needs to be clarified about the license structure and about that base license in particular. A lot of people are really ticked about that because they feel that the DNR is forcing them to buy a small game license, which the base license covers. Once you have your base license, you can hunt small game with that.
Right.
A lot of other states have what they call a hunting license, and you have to purchase that hunting license before you can buy another license, just like our base license, but it doesn't allow you to hunt anything. All it does is allow you to buy those other licenses, whereas here in Michigan, you buy a base license and you can hunt squirrels, you can hunt rabbits, you can go out and small game hunt. Even if you don't do it, maybe it'll get some people to say, "Hey, you know what, it's a winter afternoon, there's nothing going on, I'm going to go out and see if I can find some bunnies." Or, you know, earlier in the year, they might want to go out in February and go squirrel hunting or grouse hunting in the late December season. So it opens that door for everybody. Once you buy your base license, you're covered. And if you get the urge sometime during the season, you don't have to go, "I don't have a license, I can't do it, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, pass." Now
Bill
you can
Parker.
Go ahead and do that.
Bill Parker here joining us on Wild Michigan. Thanks so much, Bill.
Hi, this is Cuz Stricken with Mossy Oak, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
It sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gone.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host here on the Michigan Talk Network. So glad to have everybody here, and thanks to all of our guests today. A lot of great folks. Thanks to Bill Parker for coming on, talking to us from down at the Outdoorama. Coming up next weekend, it is the Let me get this straight. Field and Stream Deer and Turkey Expo at the Summit Ice and Sports Complex in Diamonddale, Michigan, just outside of Lansing, right off of I-96. That event will be going on as well. Lots of other events. If you want to find out where we're going to be at or what's going on, like a lot of the local banquets are happening, look us up, wildmichiganradio.com. You can also send me an email with your event via our new website, wildmichiganradio.com. If you have a nonprofit event that is going on, outdoors related, by all means, please send me an email. You can do so via our contacts page or just send it to me here at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. I will be happy to post that for you. And if you'd like us to be a part of any of your events this year as well, please let me know because we will be happy to work something out and get going, you know, get your event started off right. So very happy to be back. Like I said, I was down in the at the Bassmaster Classic last week in Birmingham, Alabama. The fine folks at Dick's Sporting Goods bringing me down to work their booth and had a great time with Jimmy Houston, with Hank Parker. Also, Bill Dance. You can't forget Bill Dance. He was down there as well and had the opportunity to talk with Ray Scott, the founder of BASS. And if you have never been to one of the big time Bass Elite Series events, take like a big rock and roll concert with fishing. Absolutely incredible. You know, thousands of screaming fans, boats with big trucks coming into the event, anglers holding up 8 and 10 pound bass. Just overall a good time. And so happy to have been a part of it down there as well. So, again, back to be back in Michigan. The cold, though, needless to say, not happy about the cold, but we do have great ice fishing going on around the state. And one of the things that the DNR was talking about, we had talked about this off air with a lot of our friends on Facebook about them seeing dead fish under the water. This has been an extremely difficult year for the fish under the water, with the snow covering the ice, taking oxygen away from plants decaying, and then getting a bit of toxicity in the water. Some of the smaller fish, some of the unhealthy fish, not probably going to make it through. So when you see fish kills coming up in the spring, when we start to lose the ice, don't panic. This is a natural occurrence when you have winters like this because, again, the snow piles on top of the ice. Light does not get through to the plants. The plants don't grow. They die. And again, that water becomes toxic, taking oxygen out of the water and killing off the fish. So, it's going to be a bit of an odd-looking spring, but, again, part of nature. And it's all cyclical. They'll be fine. And, we will move forward from there. So again, don't be panicked when you see fish kills coming up in the spring. This has been announced by the Michigan DNR to expect it and just a part of nature. So that being good. Now, whitetail poachers in Michigan, I'm very happy to see this. They have instated some new penalties. The governor approved a tie-barred Senate bill, 171 and 172, after lawmakers crafted legislation for significantly increasing fines for poachers of larger bucks to establish new penalties for those who trespass in their illegal pursuits. What is going to happen now is they've increased the fines. Illegally taking any deer will be made at $1,000, but will increase by another $1,000 for antler deer. The new law imposes further fines for $500 per antler point for racks between 8 and 10 points and $750 per point for racks 11 points or larger. Points are counted if they are at least 1 inch long. So that being said, I'm very happy to see that we are finally moving forward when it comes to poaching in the state of Michigan. Because we are managing our deer much better than we ever have. We are starting to see bigger bucks around the state in many locations that are managed better. And I think it's time that we start putting a bounty on these poachers that are taking away our resources that we work very hard for, that we worked to keep healthy, to ensure a better population, and bigger trophies, if that's what we choose to hunt. If we choose to manage things that way, poachers should be fined to the fullest extent of the law. My opinion. But again, that to many as well, that that work very hard to manage their deer, even though the deer are free range and their own animal and managed by the state, we manage the properties. And I'm glad to see that these fines are being instated, because it is something that needs to be done here in Michigan. And again, if you're a trophy hunter, you may disagree with me if you are the quote unquote meat hunter. Okay. That's fine. I hunt for meat as well. I'm a hunter. That's what I do. But to see stiffer penalties for some of these bigger bucks, all for it. Now, that being said, Spook Span, who many of you know from television, who had his own hunting reality show. Well, Spook, and I left this out of the show for a reason initially, because I don't like celebrity hunters, again, air quotes, hunters doing the wrong thing. They have an obligation to not only themselves, but to the viewers and the sponsors and everybody else, to be as to the letter of the law as possible. Now, officials with the District Attorney General's office said 50-year-old Spook Span, William Spook Span, was arrested Friday morning of last week after agents raided his Fairview, Tennessee home. Span was indicted on 6 more criminal counts. On Thursday, authorities said Span had been accused of destroying cell phone evidence stemming from allegations of state and federal wildlife violations, such as baited turkey hunts. And they said his wife, Marty Span, was also taken into custody in connection with tampering with evidence. Now, in 2013, a judge deemed that Span had violated the terms of his probation in a federal criminal case from 2007, in which he pleaded guilty to illegally hunting and killing a deer on a hunting trip in Kansas. Now, Span also told other news agencies that he did not realize the Kansas hunting license he bought only allowed him to hunt on his personal farm, but he later pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor for a violation of the Lacey Act. Now, he admitted to killing deer without the proper permit and taking the antlers out of Kansas. Now, during this raid last week on his home in Tennessee, officials said a small amount of marijuana was also found in a bedroom along with a pipe. And now a warrant has been issued for Span's 20-year-old daughter in connection with possession of marijuana, according to officials. So not only is the hole huge for Spook Span, it's only getting bigger now because of what he has done illegally, baiting turkeys and taking deer and not following the letter of the law in the state that he hunts. So again, don't expect to see Spook Span on a reality show or a hunting show anytime soon. And again, I've left that out of the news initially because we as hunters face enough from anti-hunting organizations on our own, just for the fact of what we do. But when we have somebody in the celebrity status, if you will, breaking the law, it really makes us all look bad and gives anti-hunters fuel for their fire. So that being said, if you hunt out of state, please know the rules and don't give anybody a reason to, you know, to come down on us or you. So again, you know, follow the rules when you can. And again, we appreciate everybody joining us here and listening to us and abiding by the rules as I know all of you do. So thank you so much. So many things coming up. Safari Club International Banquet, the Lansing chapter happening at the Eagle Eye Banquet and Conference Center in Bath, Michigan. We're going to be there. That is a 2-night event. They have the Outfitters Night on the 14th where you can come do some silent auction stuff and meet the outfitters. And then on the following night, the Saturday, the 15th, they will have their big live auction for opportunities to hunt in some great places locally and abroad. And a lot of those things go very, very inexpensively. So Safari Club International, next Friday night is the Pheasants Forever Chapter Banquet in Lansing. Big, big deal. All of these events going on in our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And also, a new sportsman's triathlon is coming to the greater Negaunee, Ishpeming area. Vicki Warner and her group, we're going to be there for that as well. This is going to be huge. Follow us on Facebook. Find out that information. Get in the Ironman triathlon with us here at Wild Michigan.